distributing this form, this notice, will be the developer or somebody who is a purchaser for resale. I think that when this language was changed, that fact was not remembered. That is, it was a thought. But if it hadn't been done, then this would be a reminder. So I would say, I mean, either with it or without it, it was not a policy matter.
Okay.
Right.
Well, at that point in time, I say, fine, whatever.
All right.
Well, I don't.
We're picking and picking here. What difference does it make?
We're picking because we don't like this bill.
How about yellowing?
Yellow.
Okay.
There are a couple of them.
We'll yellow it. Now, we move to page 17. The new language which is proposed following line 27. Subject to subsection 2 of this section, the declaration may provide for a period of declarant control of association of unit owners, during which period a declarant or persons designated by the declarant may appoint and remove officers and members of the board of directors, the original language said, and may exercise powers and responsibilities otherwise assigned, so forth. And you want to say, may appoint and remove officers and members of the board of directors, comma, allocate greater voting rights to units owned by the declarant, approve amendments to the declaration bylaws, and exercise powers, and so forth.
Would you like an explanation of this?
Yes.
Okay. The 3132 was drafted before we started working on the Planned Community Act. And when I was working on that, I realized that this section could be drafted better. So 2013 has a section that read about just about like what is right here, and I think almost verbatim from what I submitted the other day in amendments. And it was simply a result of thinking it through a little bit better on the work sessions on the other bill, and in making it very clear that the developer declarant could particularly have because the lenders often require that they have weighted voting, and just expand just a little bit more what they could do. And it's consistent, I think, with the provision of 2013.
And section 13, probably. Again, these are essentially nitpicking sort of amendments.
Okay. So there's no problem?
No.
All right.
So we're going to yellow that?
So we yellow that one if there's no problem by it. Boom. Page 18. After line 5. Is there anything in here to suggest there is any limitations upon the right of the declarant?
I guess I'm very, very, very cautious on wanting to make sure we don't have any problems of what the developer can do or can't do. And I guess we could probably live without this. My concern would be that the time frame might limit some other. Might be a question of some other kind of right he reserved in the declaration, whether it was an easement or something else. And I wanted to make it very clear those time frames were clearly related to control of the association. But if the House Committee is uncomfortable with it, I think we could
go
without it.
Well, we went over the major policy decisions that we accepted.
Well,
these
wait
are
a second.
Nitpicky things.
Yeah.
There's no problem.
Okay, let's take it then if there's no problem.
Okay.
You want to leave it in?
Yeah. We've got a correction on page 19, line 31. That just, I think we use a L in that instance, but that's a
lowercase.
Yeah. Page 20, line 34 at the top of the page. Any written warranties of the contractor, subcontractor, suppliers, manufacturer? Oh, we've got two here.
Well, it's a replacement.
It's a replacement.
This amendment was suggested because of the hearings on 2013 and some problems, and I guess I just included it because I made a note when all the hearings were going on that it was probably something that needed just in here, but okay. It's
yellow.
Not yellow.
Yellow.
Okay.
She gave in easy on that.
Well, I mean, these are sort of after the, these are...
We've already yellowed seven, right?
We've already yellowed seven, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any sub seven on page 20?
I don't remember yellowing it.
That's the one I think we jumped along to.
Yeah, that's the one the committee, we're asking the committee to, yeah, and I think the committee did yellow that.
Okay.
Right.
That was the first one.
Page 21, line 25. Lack of privity. What's privity?
We did? Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Line seven, or subsection seven there on page 20, we did adopt that?
Yes.
Or that's recommendation.
That's what I mean, we did this, and you don't, what's your feeling?
That was my, it's one that I sort of threw up my hands on and said it's up to the committee's choice, and the chair said, well, it's all right, you really haven't created anything new. And I said, that's one thing that we haven't checked out.
What it refers to, if you remember, it refers to, on page 19, line six. Four, sub B, the unit owner shall elect a board of directors, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says that if the unit owners don't elect a board of directors, the declarant has done everything he could do, and if the, he or she, and if the,
okay,
if they don't elect a board of directors, that's no responsibility his.
Yep.
Okay? 21, page 21, line 25. What's the purpose of this one?
This was put in, the language was being deleted at the request of Howard Feuerstein, who is, had worked on last three sessions. We've worked together on the legislation, and he was concerned that really the question of the whether there's privity under the warranty under 95-1504 should not be addressed here. It's a question of under the warranty, but this is, I really can't comment any more
who's,
than I
who suggested this amendment?
Howard Feuerstein.
And he represents?
He definitely.
No, who is he?
Who is he?
He's an attorney that does represent developers, of course. That's, you know, why he's involved. But also, he's been balancing the needs.
What's the significance of this?
Privity means that you have to, a requirement of privity means that you can only sue the person that you directly purchased something to from. If you have, if lack of privity does not deprive a unit owner, that means that you can sue a remote seller, basically.
And I don't know that it, yeah, and I don't know the effect that you couldn't do that without saying it. So I'm not wanting to really to take a position other than that was...
How did it get in there in the first place?
Well, this section came from the uniform, and I had to redraft it considerably to even deal with ours, but it came from the Uniform Act.
Let's leave it in.
Okay.
Thank you. That's one thing that this committee, our committee, didn't want to move around those kind of little changes in the last minute. So
let's leave it in.
All right.
Don't yellow, right?
Don't yellow.
Don't yellow.
On page 23, I think we had the consensus that we would agree to the changes made in ORS 91626.
Well, that's yellowed already.
That's yellowed already, and that brings us to the end of the act.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Section 35 on page 24 is not yellow.
Section on page what?
24.
Effective date of the act has not been yellow.
Ah, I'm. Oh, wait a second.
35.
Oh, section 35. This 1981 act takes effect on January 1st, 1982.
Yes, that was it. My request. What we are going to have a lot of projects that would have been processed through the real estate division so far that I'm be marketing that officially
we want
not
a precise date.
We want a precise date and a little more time to get them in shape.
Okay, rather than
since we're not sure when you folks are going
to 90 days after we adjourn on August the 12th.
We could say 90 days after when we adjourn or July 1, whichever occurs first.
January. We don't want to wait
for
July.
Is there any objection to the new language on section 35? If not, it is yellowed.
One more, Mr. Chair. On first page, I think we neglected, if we're going to put that in, on line 4, the first page, you'll need to add 91.626.
Okay.
As it's handed in.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We'd also want to add, "and prescribing an effective date."
To the relating clause?
Yes, to the relating clause.
Can I ask a question? Is it appropriate to ask the committee, I don't know that Legislative Council has had time to maybe pick up all the technical adjustments. Will that automatically be done, or do you need to give them directions?
We will hope they do, yes.
Okay.
Any more problems?
We'll hope they do.
Chairman, I might comment that I hope that Barbara Schmidt from the Consumer Protection Division, with her desire for plain language contracts, never has to read it. Well, testified in another committee for 2 or 3 days.
We can
come back next time and simplify.
This will not create a lot of unnecessary litigation that's...
Yeah, move the amendments.
That have been identified as yellowed.
Senator Monroe moves that we amend A, engrossed House Bill 3132, with the amendments which we have identified as acceptable under the language of yellowed. Is there any objection to these amendments? If not, they are adopted. And Senator Monroe moves the bill to the floor with a recommendation that do pass as amended. Any further discussion? Not, clerk, call roll.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Hanlon?
Aye.
Senator Hannon?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Motion is adopted.
With the vote explanation that I really am not sure what we're voting on. No, I seriously dislike to vote for something.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I appreciate your concern.
She's not sure what we're voting on either.
She is. Now we'll move to House Bill 2521. We have amended the bill. Where are the amendments?
7:15.
Has this got in the
amendments dated 7:15?
Has this got in the Kaiser amendments, Kaiser, Klamath Falls, et cetera amendments?
Well, we have amended the bill, and we now have before our Senator Hanlon's amendments, which you will find on the hand engrossed amendments dated 7:15 on page 2, and what we have here on a new section 5. The first part of section 5 is the one which removes the 3-mile limit, 3-mile veto for jurisdictions, a part of which are included in a boundary commission. And the second subsection 2 is the part proposed by Senator Hanlon, which removes the 3-mile veto from areas that are outside the jurisdiction of a local government boundary commission and lie within the urban growth boundaries of a city if the area contains more than 20,000 residents and has an average population density greater than 1920 persons per square mile. In addition, it says when it's exempt for that reason, then the county court to which the petition to incorporate is presented under RS 221.030, which is the incorporation statute, shall, with regard to such petition, exercise the powers of a local government boundary commission granted under ORS 199.461 and so forth, which are the general powers.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have some question about sub 1. Would sub 1 allow the incorporation of a community of less than 20,000 within the jurisdiction of a boundary commission without the city's having the 3-mile veto?
Yes, it would.
Did we make that as a policy decision?
Well, this was the amendment which was adopted, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've had a call from, maybe Rod's had the same call.
Yeah, I got the same call.
Director of the Portland Metropolitan Boundary Commission, and he is concerned that at people running in there with small incorporations, or small incorporations, basically. Wasn't that his concern?
Yeah, he would like to retain the 20,000 limit.
Well, these amendments that you have before you, this section 5, is subject to any amendment that you want to propose to it. And...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would say that one easy way would do it, and Bill, watch what we're doing here to see if it's accurate. When any of the territory proposed to be incorporated is within the jurisdiction of a local government boundary commission, subsection 4 of 3 of this act shall not apply to proposed incorporation if the area contains more than 20,000 residents.
And has an average.
Do we need that other part in there? Has an average? He didn't mention that, but...
Might as well put that all in since it's down in sub 2.
You're proposing then that we add on the amendments here after line 14.
Well, I think it maybe should go after the comma on line 13.
All right. We would insert after the comma on line 13
the same
language as we have, which starts on line 17, if the area contains more than.
Right.
Okay?
Yep, that's fine. And has an average population of.
Yes, all of that language, the rest of that sentence.
At mile.
Right.
Well, I think just to mile on line 19, I think, is all you needed.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that all right, Bill?
Yes. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
the wording more than, should it be less than 20,000?
Mm-mm. No, this is...
You want it big enough so they don't have little tiny smidgen.
Yeah, I know, but your concern is the area to be incorporated shall not be less than 20,000 people.
Well,
if it's more than 20,000 people, then what is...
Let's read it and see how it sounds. When any of the territory proposed to be incorporated was in the jurisdiction of a local government boundary commission, if the area contains more than 20,000 residents, so forth, subsection 4 of section 3 of this 1981 act shall not apply.
Which means that the 3-mile veto is lifted.
Right. If it's bigger than 20,000, then the 3-mile veto is vetoed.
Okay, so the 20,000 is the base.
Right. Yeah. If it's smaller than that, they'd still be subject to the 3-mile veto.
3-mile veto.
Okay, just want to make sure the intent is in the record. Come back here 2 years from now and have a group of individuals in here saying, well, the way this was written, they interpreted it to mean that it had to be more than 20,000. We didn't have 28,000, so therefore we didn't get to incorporate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's clear, if this amendment is adopted, then the area would not be subject to the 3-mile veto if it contained more than 20,000 residents and had an average population density and so forth greater than. Okay, the proposal then is to insert on line 13 of the proposed amendments the language after the comma, after commission, the language, if the area contains more than 20,000 residents and has an average population density greater than 1,920 persons per square mile, comma. Is there objection to that amendment? If not, it's so ordered.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
What's the significance of 1,920 persons per square mile? That must have some meaning.
I don't know. The language came over from the House after their deliberations.
It's in the House bill.
The language is adopted from the House bill, which occurred in the old Section 5, and which... related to the minimum size. I don't know what the derivation is.
Bill does.
It's pretty simple. It translates into 3 people per acre, and just is coincidentally the minimum threshold for each of the 5 areas.
Okay.
What's the minimum threshold?
3.
Meaning 3 people per acre.
I understood the figure, but what do you mean by minimum threshold?
If the density requirement were any greater, one or more of the areas for potential incorporation would not qualify.
Namely,
Kaiser.
Kaiser.
No, I think it's
Kaiser Kraft, Humboldt Climate Farm.
Which one it is, but one of them.
But it seemed to be the one that was acceptable that would have covered these areas.
It's a purely arbitrary figure.
Yes.
Designed to accommodate the least dense.
It's sort of like reapportionment.
Mr.
Yes.
What's the reason for the county court in line 23 being the body that acts as the boundary commission?
That also means county commission.
Because county commission or county court.
Two of the areas affected do not reside in a boundary commission.
Well, I understand that. We have to replace boundary commission with something.
Well, the
but I was saying, why county court?
That also means county commission, though.
Yes. Well, county court means county commission. It's the county governing body.
LCDC is the only other alternative.
Well, I was thinking about LCDC.
No.
at this point, if you have any proposal that you want us to consider seriously, just move the motion.
I move LCDC in to replace county court.
Senator Monroe moves that we substitute the word LCDC for county court. Is there any discussion? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Senator Gardner?
No.
Senator Hanlon?
No.
Senator Hannon?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
No. The motion is somewhat rejected.
Mr. Chairman, of the we've amended the proposed amendments.
Yes. Simplest thing probably at this point, if you want to move ahead, would just be to adopt the Section 5.
All right. I move that we adopt Section 5 as amended.
All right. Senator Hanlon moves that we adopt Section 5 as amended. Any discussion? If not, clerk, call the roll.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Hanlon?
Aye.
Senator Hannon?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
No. The motion is adopted. Do we have any
Section 6?
We have already adopted.
We've already adopted all the other amendments.
In fact, this Section 5 was a partly duplication of one we already adopted.
Oh, is this satisfying? I think these amendments were designed, Chuck, were they not, to address the problem in Kaiser and the five areas.
Right.
And as far as we know, that satisfies their problem and takes care of what they needed.
You will also note. You will also note that there remains. You'll see on page 6 of the Hannon Gross that the Section 12 remains, which sunsets this as of December 31st, 1987.
We're ready for a motion on the bill?
Yes.
Okay, I move to floor to pass.
Senator Gardner moves the House Bill 2521 to the floor with a recommendation to do pass as amended. Clerk will call a roll.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Hanlon?
Aye.
Senator Hannon?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Goes to the floor. Any further business? If not, this committee is adjourned. Signy die.
This may be the last time we'll hear this.